Could you bow your heads, please? Because without him, we're going to make a mess. I know exactly how to make messes without him. I do a great job on my own. When he's with me, I do a much better work. So, Father, I submit myself to you, and I ask for your grace, your anointing. And I ask that there would be eyes and ears that would be open to hear what the Spirit is saying to the body. In Jesus' name. And that includes me. I want you to come with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to be using the Amplified tonight because I want to pound a few things home, and the Amplified has the extra words that may be helpful. And the verse that we're going to really concentrating on is verse 2. And I have a hard time with this as far as in the natural, but in the spirit it's wonderful. It says, set your mind. Keep them set on what is above, the higher things, not on the things that are on the earth. Well, in case you forgot, since I live on the earth, I don't do that well with keeping myself completely under that anointing. I wish that it would be deeper. My prayer is that it will go deeper, but we're not always there yet. Okay? The NIV, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. So it's got the same basic message. But notice again, set your mind and keep them set on what is above. The higher things, not on the things that are on the earth. So we'll back it up to verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ to a new life, amplified, thus sharing his resurrection from the dead, aim at and seek the rich eternal treasures that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Now that's an awful lot, but again, the Amplified gives you quite a few extra words. The NIV says, since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Again, listen. The Amplified, if then you have been raised with Christ to a new life, thus sharing his resurrection from the dead. That's the Amplified. That's the little part that's inserted in between. Sharing his resurrection from the dead. What does that mean? How can I share someone's resurrection? It's a tough call when you're thinking out of your brain, isn't it?
Rejoice in their salvation?
Yeah, but, you know, making us a corporate body is really the answer. Because when we're all in one unit before the Father, he sees us as one body. Not as individual people, if you wish. We're all part of a huge number of little tiny particles coordinated together, sharing his resurrection. Usually, in my natural brain, I'm not sharing his resurrection. I'm sharing about how difficult life can be. How many hardships am I facing right now? And how I would love to fix my neighbor that's been misusing me. Now, how many of you have got a few friends with me? Okay, but you're catching on. So now, this is prodding you and me to go a little higher. Amen? Verse 2 again, set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things, not on the things that are on the earth. Now, I've got a little note here, so let's skip over to Hebrews chapter 8. verse 10. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10 is going to give you the solution. Because I'd like to put this brain of mine in the heavenly realm all the time. The problem is, I have to get up in the morning. I have to do certain things. Certain things that are unpleasant sometimes. But the answer is, verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will imprint my laws upon their minds, even upon their inmost thoughts and understanding, and engrave them upon their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Notice who's going to do all the work. Who's doing all the work? And boy, am I trying and working and trying to shove his ways into my brain, and it's not working. Oh, I forgot it. Didn't get any friends on that one. Do I have any friends that are trying to make their brain think like Jesus? And the more you try, what happens? You're in a works program instead of a praise program. Right? What's your first love like when you fell in love with Jesus? Ah, Lord Jesus, I praise you. I glorify your name. I thank you and I praise you, Lord. You're such an awesome Father. Glory be to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And I'm having a great time in the earth. And it's wonderful. It's awesome. It's exciting. Well, have you lost your first love? Have you lost it? Or has it been on park? Probably in one of those parking garages.
Right.
It says, I will be their God and they will be my people. I will put these things in my children. I will. While I'm focused on me, trying to put my brains to think like he does, I desperately crash. But when I keep my focus on how awesome he is, he begins to relate and download some of his ways into me. So how many have got a download button tonight? The only way to activate it is through the praise button. Close your eyes for a moment. Just hold on to your Bible. Just close your eyes. Say,
Lord Jesus,
your first commission to all of your disciples is to love one another.
Love
the Most High God. And keep our focus. On how awesome he is. So thank you, Lord Jesus, for reminding me to praise you, to glorify your name, to give praise for all the things that are going on that don't make a darn bit of sense. No logic in it at all. I'm going to keep praising you.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, I'm going to say it again.
Praise the Lord.
I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to glorify Him. I'm going to lift Him up. And He's going to download His ways of thinking into my brain. So I'll be thinking like Him. I'll act like Him. I'll react like Him. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be a great night. It's going to be a greater morning. Because the new day. It'll be a praise day. So I'm telling you now, Lord Jesus, forgive me for trying to put on your brain within me. Because it's your work.
Not mine. I can retire. I can really refire. My praise button. Praise you, Lord. You've got a plan for my kids. You've got a plan for everybody. I'm pregnant with praise tonight. For all the things you've prepared. Because you have a plan. It's so great. It's so awesome. It's exciting. It's awesome. It's truly awesome. Because you're the Lord of Lords. You're the King of Kings. You've done a job in me. And you've got more to go. And I'm excited. Because you didn't give up on me. And yes, the covenant you made for the house of Israel was that you would imprint your laws of love upon my mind and in my inmost thoughts and engrave them upon my heart for your glory in Jesus' name. Look at your neighbor. How do you like your new act?
Good.
How do you like your new job? What happened? You got giggles. How'd you get your giggles?
From the Lord.
From the Lord. Did he download something into you? What did he download? A time of rest? And let him figure it out, not you.
Amen.
A time of praise that you can trust him in spite of your cotton picking brain. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 3 of Colossians 3. Colossians 3:3. For as far as this world is concerned, you have died, and your new real life is hid with Christ in God. Woo-hoo! As far as this world is concerned, you've died, and your new real life is hid with Christ in God. Woo-hoo! I mean, when you think about this reality, and you realize that all this old stuff that you're worried about, it's not, and it's really nothing. The NIV, verse 3. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Hidden. With the anointing. The word Christ is anointing. When you and I are under the anointing and you're praising him and you're giving him glory and all the things that you're so worried about are in his hands, you're free. You start to giggle. The bawling days are over. I didn't say bowling. Bawling. Got it? When you cry alone. When you worship him, he will manifest and lift you back up. The more you worship, the more you praise him, the more you thank him for what's going on, the more you say, I don't care about understanding. Because understanding is part of that wonderful brain that catches you and deceives you into deception. I mean, it's a gift. Don't get me wrong. And I'm not saying God's going to do away with it. But his laws are going to be impregnated within you by his spirit, not on your own. Was there a conversation about it, Howard Brown, this morning?
You did talk.
Yes. This is probably 1993-94. And Howard Brown was in East Hampton. I mean, that's where he started his ministry. Okay? I happened to be there. Pastor Chick was there, and I remember being there on a Sunday night when the Holy Spirit broke out with joy and laughter and all the things that God could possibly do, he did. Okay? And the demons were PO'd. Now that's not Holy Ghost language, so forgive me, but that's basically what happened. Okay? And the religious people, guess what happened to them? And the following Tuesday, the Holy Ghost came to visit in the chapel. It was a heart-to-heart evening. And the Holy Ghost came. And I can tell you this, the religious forces were there too. So I'm warning you, when the Holy Ghost shows up, the religious people show up too. Now those religious people were going to definitely correct the people that were incorrect in their unholy laughter. And God showed that he could do something if he chose, and the saints decided to let him. But for those who decided to control, what happened? Persecution. And I'm giving you that as a warning. If the Holy Ghost shows up this coming Sunday and he decides to sweep through this room, are you going to be a critic and a religious fanatic, or are you going to be a Holy Ghost roller? You're going with the rollers, huh? You laugh. John Paul Jackson is in Texas. He related this several years back. I was at a conference and we had spoken, and he shared. He had a doctor or an attorney, I don't remember which, but a person with high mental capacities. Very high. Very loving of the Lord, loved Jesus with all his heart. And every Sunday and every week they have their services, and the church has been set up, and of course John Paul is known as a world traveler at that time. And he had come out of the revival out of Kansas City, which, you know, it's kind of odd how God works. And this wonderful educated man, we'll call him an educated man, so I don't want to give him a title, highly educated, wanted to do something to get God to be worshipped. And John Paul kept saying to him, Sunday after Sunday, look, Joe, stop worrying. When God shows up, you'll know it. Okay? Now, I don't know his name, and I don't want to remember his name. I'm just using Joe as an example. So week after week, they had this hassle after, because he was on the board of elders. And kept saying, well, now we got to do something. We got to do something. And John Paul kept saying, look, Joe, when God shows up, you'll know it. Well, when is he showing up? And so John Paul says, I don't know, whenever he wants. Now the Holy Ghost showed up tonight. Brushed against you. And then finally manifested in a way you would express how he could be received and understood by you. But I remind you, Holy Spirit is a person. So anyway, one day, one Sunday morning, the worship is going and the anointing came, and all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost broke loose. And everything was in disarray. John Paul says, if I remember correctly, fell in his chair and he was gone. Couldn't even pick up the microphone, couldn't do a thing. It was Holy Ghost time. Guess where Joe is? He's actually on his knees. His nose is rubbing on the carpet and his two legs are pushing him along with his two feet and his two arms. So he's actually like a dog on the ground. With his nose to the carpet, going in right around the entire room. Around twice, around three times. And all he's hearing in his brain is, Joe, I'm God and you're not. Joe, I'm God and you're not. And this went on until he had totally rug burn and until he apologized to God for not believing that he could fill his church with himself. Are you ready? Close your eyes. Is God able to download his mind into your mind and download his heart into your heart? Is he able?
Yes.
Will you let him?
Yes.
Whatever choice he makes, however he decides to do it, he's not going to do it on your computer because you can figure it out and push the wrong button. He's going to do it in a sovereign way so that you'll never forget it. And Joe walked around for weeks with a scab on his nose, reminding himself every time he looked in the mirror, Joe's not God. He knows what he's doing. He decided to show up, and I'm excited. Till the scab fell off. What am I saying to you? When God decides to show up, I pray you're ready. I pray that you won't be a skeptic. I pray that his deliverance ability will manifest in such a way that you will definitely be changed. That's my prayer for each and every one of you.